So, between 1974 and 1985, our next guest distinguished himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. His last four seasons in Washington before he got hurt against the Giants, he won 39 of his last 52 starts. He quarterbacked the Redskins to a Super Bowl 17 win over Miami. I remember that one very well. Big game for John Riggins. And then back to the Super Bowl the very next year. And it wasn't his fault that Marcus Allen couldn't be stopped. One of the great quarterbacks in the history of the game. And more importantly, a brilliant businessman and entrepreneur these days. A frequent guest of ours and a good friend of mine, the great Joe Theismann. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Sid, and good morning to you as well, Bernie. Hi, guys. How are you?
That's a heck of an introduction, huh? Pretty good. Joe Gibbs couldn't do
I'll
better.
I'll tell you something. I'm just taking you on the road for anything I do from an introduction standpoint.
He is a pro. He's a pro at that.
It's all true,
really
though.
It is all true.
Well, I mean, well, you did all those things, and you were a great quarterback. But, you know, listen, I've got two guys. So does Bernie. Our favorite former quarterbacks that we love to talk to today, one is you, one is Sims. Sims will not tackle anything controversial. He'll only talk football. You will talk about anything going on that affects the country, the business. So that makes you our number one guy. So let's get to you're welcome. The story about the National Football League that surfaced yesterday, which has Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott, Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. You've got Cole Beasley, Buffalo Bills. These guys don't want to get the vaccine. They don't want to get it. And the NFL is saying, well, that's fine, but your teams are running the risk of forfeiting games if, in fact, players don't get vaccinated. Seems un-American. Seems not right. What are your thoughts on the NFL's position? And if you were a player, should you have the right to get it or not?
I think, first of all, I'll answer your second question. I think every person has the right to make a decision what they feel is right for them. I think that's one of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. The other thing is there's certainly considerations when it comes to being vaccinated. And, you know, you cited some there. I would venture almost every team has someone or some players that have not been vaccinated. And you certainly run the risk of having a problem. We just have to be so diligent and so careful still. We're not out of the woods. Obviously, the Delta virus is sort of reared its ugly head. But, you know, and you sort of throw out percentages and all those kind of statistics. I think it's an individual thing, Sid. It does possibly put a team at risk if that person is not quarantined. Now, here's the thing is the NFL has been very fluid with its protocols, almost on a daily basis as we see what's happening as we get closer to camp, you know. Guys are trying to be protected in different ways. Meeting rooms have been set up. I'll give you an example. The Washington football team has moved its business operation to the stadium to allow for more space inside the facility where the players will practice and meet. So these are the things I think that NFL teams have to look at and say, how can we continue to protect our players, both those that have been vaccinated and those that have chosen not to be vaccinated? I just don't believe that you can make someone do something if they don't believe that they want to do it. And it isn't just football. You know, I have friends in business where businesses have basically said, you can't come here unless you're vaccinated. Now, there's different protocols. You could be tested every, 72 hours to make sure that you have negative tests. There's different ways to do something. In the world of business, obviously, we've learned to work from home, so you can do that. But I think to mandate someone to have to get something is about as un-American as you can get.
Certainly is. The former NFL great Joe Theismann on the Bernie and Sid Show. Joe, listen, on that note, by the way, today is opening day for the Olympics. They're actually protesting in the streets of Tokyo. Believe it or not, the usually complacent Japanese people, they're out there saying, go to hell. They're mad that the Olympians have come to town, have come to their country, potentially spreading the disease. Well, where in Japan, they don't have the vaccine. However, what everybody's talking about in this country is the U.S. soccer team and the kneeling. And people, half the country are rooting against the U.S. soccer team. And George Foreman, I thought, said it best. He said, you love your country like you love your wife. She might not be perfect, your country might not be perfect, but you love your country and your wife, and that's the way it should be. What do you think, Joe?
Bernie, what's interesting is what we've seen in the world of athletics in recent history is more and more expression of their feelings, whether it's as a team, whether it's as individuals. It's where we are socially today. I would much rather see us represented around the world in a way that we're proud of the country that we live in. Yes, we have issues. Yes, things need to be changed. But, you know, it reaches a point where instead of all this rhetoric that we hear and see, somebody has to tell me how things have improved. I want to see a city, a mayor get on and say, these are the things that we have done to improve social injustice in this country. These are the things that we have done to help the people of the city that we live in, to help our communities. Have you heard anybody talk about what's being done other than people saying that they're not happy with it?
Nope. No, you're so right.
And that's part of, see, if we do this, if you get out there, and this is where politicians basically drive me crazy. There's a lot of rhetoric, but there's no substance. If you get out and you do something in the community and people are aware of it, then the protests don't need to happen because you're showing, you're taking action. You're doing something. It's a positive move for the people of your community, for the nation. But all you hear are protests, but you don't see anything on the other side saying this is what's being done. Hmm. And if it is, nobody's making it very clear to anyone.
Now it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's getting absolutely worse.
So to me, it's time that if something is being done, that people need to know about it so that they understand that the protests that are taking place, once again, a freedom in this country to be able to express yourself.
There you have it, folks.
Let them know.
There you have it.
Let the people know.
Yep. You can kick your ass on a Sunday if you're the Giants or the Cowboys and can give you really good advice on the Bernie and Sid Show 20 years later. Yeah. Between 1974 and 1985, the great Redskins quarterback, Joe Theismann, and I still do refer to your team as the Redskins, don't get angry, but Washington football team is silly. Anyway, Joe
Well, you know what, Sid? They've said that, next year there'll be a new name and a new logo. So we will at a year from now probably no longer be the Washington football team.
Good.
Which I'm glad. I just didn't want to be referred to as the Washington football team.
Come on. It took you 2 years to come up with that.
Make it the Washington Theismanns.
Bernie, listen, I think it was very smart of the organization to take the time they did because obviously if you hurried into something, you'd upset somebody.
Right.
And you may potentially upset somebody anyway. But at least now, I mean, they've talked to alumni. They've talked to fans. You have a marketing team. So there's been a lot of information that's been accumulated to be able to make an evaluation of, okay, this is the name. This is what we're going with. So I'm glad they took the time they did. There was no reason to hurry into something. And I'm excited to see what it's going to be. And people keep asking me, do you know, Joe? Do you know? No, I have no idea what it's going to be.
Okay. Now, Joe, are you still involved in the restaurant business, Virginia, D.C.? You still have your restaurants?
Yes, I am. I have one in Alexandria, Virginia.
Right, in Virginia, right. So one of the major stories we cover every day, Bernie, is like we're very close with Chaz Palminteri. He owns restaurants here in New York, the great actor. And he's got difficulty staffing his restaurant because folks are banking $800 a week to stay home. Why would they go to work? They make less money. Are you experiencing difficulties in staffing your great restaurant in Virginia?
I think every restaurant is. The restaurant business has been one of the hardest hit. I heard somebody say the other day that, you know, you pay people $7-$8 and hope they exist on tips. People make more. Until you stop giving people more money to stay home, and give them an opportunity to go to work, this situation is not going to get better. I don't care where you are in the country. I don't care what type of restaurant you have in the country. As long as people can stay home and make more money or comparable money by not going to work, that's what's going to happen. So what has to happen is there has to be a time when the subsidies will stop so that people have the initiative and want to go back to work. And I've said this, Bernie, if you have the inclination that you want to work at all, this is the perfect time to do it because sooner or later, the government will stop giving money. I don't know when. I don't know if it's sooner or later, but at some point they will. then there's going to be this giant pool of people that will want to go to work. You will have lost the opportunity to receive a bonus for showing up and probably an hourly wage in most instances that would be better than possibly what you might get before. So this is the while people are, I mean, everybody out there is looking for it. And it isn't just our business in the restaurant business. You know, I do speeches around the country. You can't find people to work manufacturing. Why do you think goods are so hard to get? Why do you think plants are having trouble delivering things to restaurants? Because there's nobody there to work. Because people say, look, you know, I can make more money or as much money sitting home doing nothing because the government keeps giving it to me. Why should I go to work? I mean, it's time that they have to step back and take a look at the industry, because so many restaurants have closed and will never open again. These are small business. We're small business owners. You know, we want to continue to serve the community, but how can you continue to serve a community that is not inclined to want to go to work?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, and it's been documented. The 24 states that rejected the $300 enhanced unemployment bonuses, or whatever you want to call it, they've experienced 33% less unemployment than the states that accept it. So it's already been documented. You're so right, Joe Theismann. I do want to ask you quickly, though, a football-related question. And I only care because I watched Aaron Rodgers host Jeopardy, and I love the guy. And I have friends who are Packers fans. But he says he doesn't want to re-sign with the Packers because, A, he doesn't like the culture there, and, B, people think, they surmise that he was mad that they drafted a first-round quarterback. So what's the deal with the Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, this is my summation of that situation. Number one, Aaron is a great personality, and there's been the single biggest conversation that's been had in the offseason is not the new kids coming in, not the Trevor Lawrence, not the Zach Wilson, but what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. That situation for him is toxic right now. When it first started, I thought it was 80-20, he'd be a Packer. Now it's probably 90-10, he won't be. They wanted to give him an extension. They wanted to guarantee the end of his contract. From what I understand, they were going to make him the highest paid player in football. None of that matters to him. What he was upset about is not the fact that they drafted Jordan Love. And in a way, I feel sorry for Jordan Love. He's sort of caught in the wash of this giant storm. But the fact that they traded up to get him, and yet there were other needs that Aaron felt on that football team that could have helped them get past, you know, just the NFC championship game and get, you know, into the Super Bowl and have a chance to play for another championship. I think that's what bothered him. Yeah. So this is what he's basically saying to the Green Bay Packers. Look, you traded up for Jordan Love. You didn't want to get what I thought you should get. You wanted the young quarterback. Good for him. You got him. He's yours. Now let me go someplace else. Here's the problem. He's under contract. And if you were to trade for him, you're getting what, a 37-year-old quarterback who probably is going to get, I think, look at it, Aaron, maybe 3-4 more years. What are you going to have to give up from your franchise to get someone like that? It's going to be at least two number ones.
Yep.
You know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like Kevin Costner at draft day.
You
know, we'll give you three number ones, right, and then they got to figure out a way to get something back. And it's like, that's what it is.
Yep.
Wow.
But he has options. That's the thing. But to me, I still believe Aaron wants to play football.
Okay.
The Jeopardy and everything is out there, but I really believe he wants to play. He wants another shot at a ring.
Absolutely. He comes off an MVP season. He was brilliant last year. Well, on the way out of here, Joe, forget about Aaron Rodgers. I will tell you this. I am personally inviting you to sit right next to me in the Canyon of Heroes when Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback, celebrates a Giants Super Bowl championship this year in New York City. You can sit right next to me. How about that, Joe? You can even wear your old Redskin jersey. How about that?
Sid, I appreciate that so much. But, it's just like you may have to help me into the chair because that's how long it's going to take. That's all I can tell
Poor
you.
Guy.
Hey, I happen to love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know him personally. So the
Redskins,
that could be fun this year down there. We'll talk quite a bit throughout the season. You're brilliant. You were great again today. You really are a great guest. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Always great being with you guys. Take care of yourselves, and please, everybody, stay safe.
Ah, the great Joe Theismann. There he is, a tremendous quarterback in the NFL, and even better guy and brilliant, as you can hear. Joining us here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show as teams get set. NFL training camp set to open in the next couple of weeks all over the country. We still have another big hour to come. It's Bernie and Sid, the Friday edition, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.